I'm hoping you all had a lovely Thanksgiving, an opportunity to gather with those who are important to you. As we were preparing for hosting our families, we got to take part in one of our favorite traditions, watching the Thanksgiving Day Parade. The singing and the dancing, the pointing out the different balloons, a good time was had by all. And of course, the last float, as it has been for the last 89 out of 90 years, was Santa Claus. In 1933, he took a hiatus and led the parade instead of bringing up the end. But every other year has been at the end. And immediately, when the parade concluded, Felicity came running into the kitchen singing 31 Days Till Christmas. As we're still peeling potatoes and the turkey timer hasn't even popped up yet, the countdown to Christmas began in earnest before our guest for Thanksgiving even showed up at our house. In fact, if you're counting, there are still 4 days left in November. So for those of us who've been participating in the gratitude challenge, writing notes of thank you and gratitude throughout the month of November, 4 more chances, thank you notes out in the lobby. I'm so thankful for the way that offering gratitude and also receiving gratitude has rooted me this month in my connection with you all and with God. I hope it's been your experience as well. This Advent season, we change course slightly and catch some of the sounds of how the writer of the Gospel of Luke told of the coming of Christmas. We'll take a look and explore some of Luke's carols and some of our own, looking at how God describes the full realization of Christ's coming, how we've known it, how we've understood it in our music. Did you know that there were carols in the Gospel of Luke? Songs praising God, telling a story, and familiar enough to make an impact on those who would hum them along. You see, music speaks in ways that our words cannot. Throughout the season of Advent and Christmas, we'll take a look at some of those carols, and I imagine some of them will be so familiar that you'll almost find yourself humming along as we're exploring it that Sunday. But, like the first Sunday of Advent always is, our first carol may not be familiar to you. All the earth is waiting. So I've asked Betsy and I believe the choir to share that with us. Thank you for offering that gift. Was that familiar to anyone? I had one or two people at 8:30 who had heard it, but now you all have heard that carol. It was written in the 1970s by Monsignor Alberto Tall after Vatican II, hoping to take the message of Romans, of the earth groaning for God's coming, and put it in a way so that folks would sing it along as they were doing the laundry and washing the dishes and planting. I think he's created enough of a melody you might be humming it along later today as well. It was meant to be familiar as some imagery for the kingdom of God breaking in. Even though this hymn rarely makes Christmas playlists, and I've never heard it on the radio myself, it captures Advent waiting and anticipating. It is truly an Advent carol. Now, also on the first Sunday of Advent, I find myself and many preachers among us wondering about early Christmas and not enough Advent. I've heard you and others lament the early coming of Christmas and decorations, sometimes even before the Thanksgiving stuffing has been finished. But I wonder if part of the reason we've done this is that we haven't painted a clear enough a picture of what we're counting down to. What are we awaiting when we say we're awaiting the coming of Christ? You see, when we're counting down to Christmas, there are teams of marketers who've taught us exactly what to look forward to. They've painted pictures for us of Christmas morning with presents under the tree, sweet children in their pajamas, light snow out the window, coffee wafting across the air, and cinnamon buns to be enjoyed. Peace on a Christmas morning. Have any of you experienced that kind of a Christmas morning? I got yeses and nos. Okay, there you go. We haven't. But hours and days were spent crafting that message, that picture of a countdown to Christmas, so that we would experience the right feels and spend our money appropriately to get them. Perhaps we haven't painted a clear enough picture of what anticipating the coming of Christ looks like because we're not sure ourselves of what the reign of Christ is. We do not know the heart of a God who loves justice, who uses human history as a storyboard for meeting people where they are and allowing the larger story arc to unfold across generations. Perhaps we've not spent a lot of time with the God of Elizabeth and of Zechariah. The Gospel of Luke is described as a gospel to the margins, of those who have not found a voice in traditional marketing get a spotlight in Luke. In fact, Luke begins his gospel with a childless couple who know an awful lot about waiting. We can imagine they've waited for years and years, waiting for the desire of their hearts and resigning themselves to disappointment. Imagine the utter shock of Zechariah as he experiences the revelation of God, an angel right before him. He was in the temple doing his job, didn't expect God to show up while he was doing his job of paying attention to God. How many times had he done just that and not experienced divine revelation? He was shocked to receive the news that he and Elizabeth would be parents. How could it be? What did it mean? It's like you and I, who've been praying and anticipating so long that when God answers our prayers, we're not even exactly sure what to say. We may find ourselves dumbfound, speechless. Or perhaps we find ourselves like the psalmist, more sure of what the coming of Christ isn't than what it is, sure of feeling forgotten or overwhelmed, sure of feeling like it's been enough already, sure of wanting God to come and move mightily, but not sure what that looks like in a picture you post on social media, sure that we need God to intercede, but not having any idea how God would do that. Perhaps we find ourselves wanting to assuage the brokenness of our world with the answers we can offer simple solutions that solve the immediate without a regard for the ultimate. You see, if you and I are going to live in Advent and not pre-Christmas, that means acknowledging that there's darkness in the world around us. There's pain and there's suffering. There's brokenness in need of redemption. There's a reason for which the Savior has work. We live in a world in which terrorism and mass shootings are so common that our children have drills in school as to what to do should it happen in their school. We live in a world that values profit over people and efficiency over connection. If we're going to anticipate the coming of Christ, we need to picture that which we're counting down to. In Advent, we pray for the way and the will, the reign and the redemption of God to break through all of that brokenness, our lived reality, and refocus us again on God's coming. When we see people living in fear, we anticipate the day when fear and hatred, suffering and desperation will become no more. We are counting down, yes, to December 25th, and to a day that we don't know exactly which date to circle on the calendar. We're counting down to the day in which God's way will be the way that all people will live. As we count down to Christmas, the birth of Jesus, and the full realization of Christ's coming, we hear the call to be awake, to watch, and to wait. Now, if you've ever been awake at 3 a.m. like the insomniac here, we're not always happy about watching and waiting for the coming of Christ. In fact, if you're anything like me, if you're awake at 3 a.m., what you're wishing for is sleep, not at all revelation. We wish we could unknow the pain we know. We may wish for ignorance instead of conscious raising and knowledge of the way of God. But my friends, the full realization of the coming of Christ is not passive. We too have work to do. Just like we prepare for December 25th, buying presents and decorating the house, making cookies and sending Christmas cards, we're not passive in that preparation. As we prepare for the coming of Christ, we feed the hungry and we clothe the naked. We work for just systems in which no group is given privilege over another. We model God's love to the least, the last, and the lost. We live in such a way that people who have never opened a Bible or understood what was written will glimpse God's love in us, not just as covering up pain, but true moments of peace and of love. I think myself about an instrumentalist who's received a particular musical line and who plays it over and over and over again until it's so familiar that they don't need the music anymore to play that line. You might question how your portion will resonate with the fuller orchestra, or if the other musicians will prepare their parts, but you know that your preparation is only the instrument you have and only the lines you've been given. The orchestration, the planning, the conducting is work for the conductor, not the one who's playing. In a similar way, we anticipate the coming of Christ. We live out the calling we've been given. Some of us called to work for justice, some of us to live out loving kindness, others of us to usher in peace, others to show hope, and others to exude joy. All are called to anticipate the coming of Christ, not just a sweet gurgling baby surrounded by stable animals, but a Savior who transforms our lives and the very world in which we live. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.